Hey, welcome in, everybody. Live from the United Kingdom, Mike Dempsey on this side of the pond. Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks back on the other. Jaguars today on this Thursday afternoon, our last full day at the Grove Hotel where the team is practicing as we speak, or maybe perhaps just wrapping up. Team meetings with players go until 5 o'clock our time, which is noon local time. So great likelihood that we won't get any Jaguar players on today. It's actually tied up with their day jobs, which is preparing for this Sunday's game against the Dallas Cowboys. Hello, Tony Smith. How are things back in the United States of America?
Things are going along swimmingly here in the United States. Mike, yesterday when you joined me, we had rain. We had the clouds rolling through Jacksonville. Today, not so much. It's a beautiful sunny day despite a, I heard a pretty eventful afternoon at the station yesterday with some of the neighbors getting themselves in some legal trouble, Mike. Yeah, it's been a fun morning so far.
Do tell. What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Apparently there was a drug bust in the neighborhood here yesterday. SWAT team was involved.
Really?
Yeah. It's,
how close to the, how close
like
are we
right
talking
about? Like right next
door.
Like, close.
The one, like across the parking lot next door or
yes.
The other side next
yeah.
across the parking lot?
Yeah.
Huh. Never would have suspected because that never looked like a kind of shady enterprise.
No.
Whatsoever.
No.
In that, I would have thought that place belonged smack dab in the middle of the most high profile gated community in Jacksonville. And it just seemed out of place where it was next to, the 1010XL studio. So how about that? That was good. Do we get any live play-by-play of that? Did we have Chad Scott put on the remote headgear and wander outside and maybe call the action from the parking lot or what?
You know, I do not know. I got a call from Paul Spicer who was here recording an interview. I wasn't even here for any of the events. He called me. He was like, you should have been here. It was crazy what was going on out here. That was fun.
Well, we miss all the good stuff when we come over here to the UK, I guess. I mean, I got breaking news, but I can't give it to you.
Yet. Oh, you know who they're playing, don't you?
I know who they're playing. I know who they're playing.
If I guess it correctly, can you say, yep?
I could. I might not, but I could.
I think I know who
I will tell you this. Do you know who it's? Well, I'll tell you this. Here are the candidates, right? It could be a division game, and the division games are on the table because you saw that the Jets and the Dolphins are going to play here next year. I assume you saw that story, right?
Yes.
That was out on Pro Football Talk before the show tipped off here today. So division games are on the table. It could be Indy. It could be Tennessee. It could be Houston, right? Their other home games, they'll play one against the AFC West opponent who finishes in the same spot. So, for instance, if they finish in fourth place, likely the Oakland Raiders, but they wouldn't announce that game because you can't know for sure who's going to finish in what place in the division. So that game's out of the equation, right?
Right.
The other candidates are the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins from the AFC East and the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers from the NFC South. Tony Smith, what is your guess as to whom the Jaguars will be hosting in London next year?
It's the NFC South next year.
It is Atlanta, Carolina, Miami, Buffalo, and the division games are the home games for the Jacksonville Jaguars next year, not counting whoever they'll play out of the AFC West, which you got to take them out of the equation because you can't know who that will be, even though we expect we could figure out who it would be. But let's say they could easily, you know, they could pass Tennessee, finish in third place, and play Kansas City instead of Oakland. So they're not going to announce a game where they don't know who the opponent is. So it's one of the seven, either the three division games, Buffalo, Miami, Atlanta, or Carolina. Who's your guess?
My guess would be Miami.
Your guess is Miami, okay? Let's say hello to the lovely and talented Ms. Lauren Brooks. Hello, Lauren Brooks. How are you? Good morning.
Hello. Good afternoon over there. I finally got it right this morning.
Thank you very much.
Well, this morning for me. Every other morning, I always say good morning, and he says good afternoon. So this morning, I say good afternoon, and he says good evening. And I was like, man, I thought I was going to be rewarded for finally remembering to say good afternoon.
I'm just confused. I just add 5 hours to anything you say. That's my default position all week long. What's your guess, Lauren? They could play any of the three division opponents, Indy, Tennessee, or Houston, or
yeah, I'm going to Titans.
Miami, Atlanta, or Carolina. You're going with Titans.
Give me Tennessee and give them to me now.
Give you Tennessee and give them to you now. As we talked about, Tony, before I left, a lot of people would be upset with losing any division game, would they not?
No, they would, and it's interesting with the league already announcing they're taking one divisional game over there. Are they willing to take two away from teams that are that have been expressed a willingness to go over there and play games overseas? I'm not sure about that, but we'll see. You know, I don't.
I do. You don't. And we'll keep it like that, at least until it's officially unembargoed in about 40 minutes or so from now. So I've been requested to please sit on that information, but you'll all know
this is torture
in due time right here. It's not that torturous. I mean, really, it's a year from now. So, and I got the week too. What I got the week and the opponent, and I'm sitting on it, Tony. Oh, it's burning a hole in me right now.
Do we know what time yet? Are they playing early?
We don't know that.
I do not know the kickoff time.
Okay.
So I do not know the kickoff time, whether that's an early go of it or whether that's a later kind of deal. So I have to wait for that. And maybe we'll find that out if they announce that later on today as well, or maybe that's something that they will figure out along the way after they announce the teams that are playing over here. Cecil Shorts not practicing. There's a surprise, huh? Cecil Shorts missing a practice.
My goodness.
I mean, just come on. They can't catch a break with these receivers, or maybe they can, and that's the problem. They catch not breaks, but strains, sprains, pulls, and what have you. Marquise Lee was to be a limited, I believe, participant in practice today. So at least he's out there playing. But I think just based on the track record of what we've seen from these guys this year, you'd much rather have Cecil Shorts out there against the Dallas Cowboys. Marquise Lee's done very little. And who knows, you know, maybe his breakout's coming at some point, but, you know, Cecil, a much more reliable, dependable target with a more proven track record. And that's saying something when you consider how many, you know, how much time he has missed this year due to injury as well. So we'll keep our eye on that as they take on the Dallas Cowboys this weekend. Tony Romo is practicing today, and I heard Lauren in the update describing Jerry Jones expects him to give it a go this weekend. So, you know, we'll see. They brought Calvin Johnson, the Detroit Lions did last week, and Calvin Johnson practiced in a limited capacity throughout the week and still didn't suit up for the Detroit Lions. He's expected to play now after sitting out his bye week. So I say last week, 2 weeks ago when they were here in London. So you really can't know. I went on a Dallas radio station this morning, and I mean, these guys are just – this one's in the win column as far as they're concerned. The final question was, do you see any possible way the Jaguars can compete with the Dallas Cowboys this week?
Oh, my goodness.
I said, well, A, you know, let's start with the quarterback situation, right? I've seen Brandon Whedon play, and he's pretty awful. So, yes, I do. I said, did you watch him play last week? And I think they chose to block that out of their memory. As far as that went. Look, Dallas is, if you're going to go man for man, particularly on the offensive side, you're going to come up with a more talented roster, without question. But it's often been an underachieving roster, and we saw that against Washington a couple of weeks ago. Colt McCoy came into their house. Colt McCoy is a guy who's kicked around the NFL as a journeyman and, you know, not suited to be an NFL starter, and he took it to them in their house. And, you know, they lost Romo, Whedon came in, and that wasn't the thing that lost them the game because they still moved the ball, they still put points up on the board. They can be had. They're not, you know, world beaters. They're a more talented roster as it stands than the Jacksonville Jaguars, but, certainly that was their attitude that, they have little to fear as far as that goes. And they also asked me, what's the difference in coverage? Yeah, I'm not reading all the papers every day, but Tom Champion is, and he said still very little notice or very little mention, if any, of this game whatsoever in the major London newspapers. And he did see a promo for it on TV. I've since ceased watching television since I found out my choices were BBC 1 through 17 on Monday, and I think Sky Sports, and I think there's one channel called USA, which is not the USA Network, but it's, you know, you get the best of the Big Bang Theory and the like. So I've been managing to do without the telly all week long. You know, not a whole lot of coverage, but they, you know, we're in the cocoon. They said, well, are they paying more attention to Dallas or Jacksonville? I said, from what I could tell, they're not paying much attention to either, to be honest with you. You know, and look, Dallas carries more cachet, I would think, internationally. That name has been around as on a championship level at times in the past. You know, the whole America's Team theme and all that. But it'll be interesting to see because I think the fans that are into it are going to be passionate. Obviously, they pack the house at Wembley. And there has been a contingent of British media. But put it this way. Remember when Ichiro came to the United States? And for about the first 5 years of his career, there were about 30 Japanese media that followed him around everywhere he went.
Oh, yeah.
That's about maybe three times as many British media that show up for the media availability. It's about 10 people come out, and most of them have no idea who the players are. I saw a guy, a photographer, today. He'd take a digital photo. He'd show it to a member of the Jags PR staff. Oh, who's this fellow? You know, I like this guy. Is he any good? That was pretty much how it went. And it'd be like, oh, yeah, he's good. He's important. Well, nah, he doesn't play very much. Oh, right on, you know, whatever. And so, you know, the media coverage has been an interesting thing to watch. I've got day three stories from the pubs. That's coming up here. Ooh. On Jaguars Today.
By the way, I want to officially change my guess based on what's happening on Twitter right now. I'm going to change my guess to Buffalo.
What is happening on Twitter right now?
Everyone is saying it's going to be Buffalo Jackson.
When you say everyone, who is everyone saying it's going to be Buffalo?
I got tweeted by two or three listeners. I don't know what the source of this is. If I can find it, I will let you know.
I'm just curious as to who. Mark Long, so Bills, Jaguars, and Buffalo. I'm going to say it's Bills, Jaguars, and Buffalo. If the rest of the Jacksonville media is tweeting about it, I don't know why we would be told to embargo it at this point. So, yes, the news is out there, the Buffalo Bills. Well, you should have known, with Miami playing the Jets in London, the likelihood was the Dolphins were not going to play the Jets. That was a poor guess on Fat Tony's part.
Yeah,
right,
I don't pay
box,
attention
right?
to anything you have to say. I was like,
my goodness.
I'll guess a team.
Warren had a better guess than you did, and it was a terrible guess as well. So,
oh, why? Thank
honestly,
you.
Oh, it was absolutely hideous.
I would like you to know.
But it was passionate, at least. It was passionate guess.
It was very passionate.
For the record, I guessed
Tennessee!
The team before it was revealed. I had the proper guess on air.
Tony, you guessed the team that was already slated to play in London against the Jets.
Before it was completely revealed, I changed my official pick to Buffalo.
But when you picked the Dolphins, they were already playing the Jets in 2015 in London.
Have they announced what week it's going to be?
I have not seen that, no.
Well, it's going to
you can still sit on some news.
One of the 17 weeks of the season. Okay? It won't be week one, and it will not be week 17.
I need to start making my plans for next year. These pub stories, I just can't miss them. You know, I can't miss out again.
No, oh well, no, pub stories, so you're saying you want to be part of them, you want to be immersed in them, you want
absolutely.
To be telling your own pub stories next year.
Yeah, I just don't want to get lost in any forests.
Let's see, let's
Buffalo
say,
Bills on October 25th, what week is that?
There you go, week 7.
Okay.
All right.
Week 7.
We solved the mystery here in the first segment.
I was going to tell you.
Did we lose Mike?
We might have lost Mike there for a moment. No, I'm checking out Jacksonville.com. They got it all up there.
Now the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, you look at it, right? I mean, how many games are – it's not a marquee schedule, right, in terms of who's coming in next year. So throw the division games out, which I agree. I don't want to lose a division game. I wouldn't want to lose a division game, although apparently they're on the table now with Jets Dolphins. You could argue Atlanta is attractive because of Matt Ryan, Julio Jones – even though they're not really performing up to that level, you can make that argument. You can make the argument Cam Newton is a, you know, popular player, exciting player to watch. Buffalo might be the, outside of the division games, of the games we know for sure, might be the least marquee game on their home schedule next year. And, you know, Miami, just because you've got, you know, the whole Dolphin in-state kind of rivalry thing aspect to it, I think, would be one you wouldn't want to lose compared to the Buffalo Bills. So that's my feeling about it anyway. I would think Jag fans, if you have to lose one based on the 7 you know about right now, that would be the one that more people would choose than not. So that's what you have. All right, we will step aside for the first time today, live from the UK, Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey over here. Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks back in the States. We'll be joined by, I don't know who today, Patrick Cavanaugh is going to join us today. He's the executive producer of Jaguars.com. Talk about what his experience has been like, what they've been doing here. And Jaguars.com puts out just a ton of content, home or on the road. And in this case, I guess home and on the road. Home game on the road in London. So we'll talk with Patrick about that. Ogier will stop by Johnny O in hour number two for a few minutes, get us the latest news from Jaguar practice. We may get a few words with Brian Sexton as well, depending on what's going on with him. Today, Tony, I tell you what, we'll hold it over. We'll embargo the news on the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. We'll do that when we return in a moment. Big news there. But Buffalo Week 7, the cat is out of the bag, and that's who the Jags will play in London. So make your travel plans for next October 25th. And I would say this, if you've never been, it would be worth the trip if you can afford the accommodations to make it over. It's been a blast this week, and it's not done yet. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks, Jaguars Today, live from both sides of the Atlantic here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. We are live in the UK, north of London here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony back in the States, Lauren Brooks as well. Jaguars Today rolling on this Thursday afternoon. And I just got somebody who tweeted me. A lot of people were tweeting their guesses, guys, on who the Jags would be playing.
I have a guess.
Next year, the Cats out of the... Who do you think, Tony?
I think it's going to be Buffalo, and I get the sense it's going to be around the end of October, like maybe...
End of October, like maybe, the I don't know, something in the 20s,
yeah,
the mid-20s,
20s, 25th,
5,
sounds about
26,
right.
Whatever that Sunday is, whatever that Sunday falls on. I'm going to guess it falls on the 25th. In week 7 of the NFL season. So this one, I've got this tweet from at Dustin Hollis 307. Buffalo's the least desirable home game until they draft Jameis Winston. All right, about 10 things wrong with that theory. Beginning with, I'm assuming you think it, when you tweet that Jameis Winston's going to be a sought-after commodity. Well, Buffalo traded away their first-round pick next year. That's the major flaw in that. Secondly, they're 5-4. They're not in line to take their choice of quarterback next year. Thirdly, you draft a quarterback, a la Johnny Manziel, what if he sits? You know, no, who would have suspected Johnny Manziel when he got drafted in the first round by Cleveland would still be sitting at this point in the season, right? And practically have, what has he played, 5 snaps at this point in time. And thirdly, I think you overestimate the impact Jameis Winston would have. There would be some impact, some intrigue to see him come in and play, but for a myriad of reasons, it's unlikely that Jameis Winston ends up with the Buffalo Bills next year. That's an issue for another day. I told you the other day about riding the train, right? The guy had no idea who Jameis Winston was.
Yeah.
Said he was a Jets fan, needed a quarterback next year. I said, what do you think about the possibility of taking Jameis Winston considering all the off-field stuff? No clue whatsoever. I got a hookup. I got a new golf hookup, Tony.
Oh.
All right.
Is this going to help
me?
This
is a good one. Well, it might. I don't know. It'll help me, and that, I mean, potentially, anyway. You know, now, Tony.
Yeah.
Do I not share the golf hookups with you?
Do
we not play a lot of golf together?
I'm implying, is this a golf hookup in London? Because that doesn't help me much.
Better. Better. Okay? Better. Okay? I'm not sure of the course. Maybe it's Royal Portrush. Whatever Rory McIlroy. If this is to be believed, I met a new friend last night in the pub. First of all, the traveling party departed at about 8:30 local time, mid-afternoon for you folks back there, and while the SWAT team was raiding the neighborhood
for heroin
we were
and
out.
Crack cocaine.
That's right.
Is that what it was? Heroin and crack?
Yep.
Oh, all right. I guess I never stopped to think what they might be raiding them for.
You just assumed that.
Heroin and crack. I guess, doesn't everyone assume that now after we watch Breaking Bad that's all that mm-hmm. that's where all the raids come from? All right, heroin and crack. There you go. There's some more heroin and crack off the streets. I think we can all applaud that. Good job, local SWAT.
Golf clap.
So last night, golf clap, absolutely, which is appropriate because I'm going to get to the golf part of this story. Traveling party included, but not limited to, Joe Fortunato. Let's see, J.P. Shadrick. Jim Scott, myself, Patrick Cavanaugh, Dave DeCandis, a lot of the usual suspects. We realize 6 in a cab is much preferable after we told you that story yesterday about 7 in a cab, but you have to bribe the driver to move.
Right.
So there was a local, kind of local, a few minutes down the road in this place called Watford Junction. Okay. It's a train. There's a train station right there, and there are a bunch of pubs in the area. And the other day when I met some of the Bolt City Brigade UK Ireland division on Monday, that's where they headed, and I didn't have a chance to hook up with them at a pub called The Flag. So we get a cab, picks us up at the hotel, And we asked, the driver says, where do you want to go? We said, well, we want to go to Watford Junction. There's a pub called The Flag. And he said, why do you want to go there? So, like, uh-oh, what's wrong with The Flag? You know, are they anti-American? Are they going to, you know, are they very, you know, closed circle and locals only? Or is it just a terrible dive?
Which do they stick a flag somewhere that you don't want?
Right. There are all kinds of things running through my mind on why you might not want to go there. By the way, yesterday, Guy Fawkes night, you know, V for Vendetta, right?
Yeah.
That movie. So it was big, like, fireworks night in Great Britain. So the driver tells us the Guy Fawkes story in a nutshell. Basically, at a certain point in history, I want to say 1700s, I could be off by hundreds of years. I really don't know. So don't take my word for it on the time frame. All right, but I was kind of listening with one ear. And the line of succession, they were out of Protestants in the line of succession. All right, there were no more Protestants. So the next guy in line was a Catholic. And they couldn't have that. So they went and borrowed Scotland's king. And I think it was Charles V, and they made him Charles I of England as well. So they just said, hey, would you like to be king of both? And he said, sure, why not? That sounds like a good deal for me. So the rightful heirs, I guess, were the Catholics in that particular time. And so they rebelled against the Protestant rule, which is interesting because Protestant comes from protest, which
right.
rebelled against the Catholics, you know, to begin with. And anyway, the idea was to blow up, what was it? The House of Parliament, I believe it was. And they got a bunch of explosives into the basement, and they were caught red-handed. But they got them in there. They were ready to blow up Parliament. And, you know, just that's a good way to express your displeasure, I would imagine. I don't know if it's a good way, but it would be a very dramatic way. Don't blow up Parliament, people. Okay, Mike did not say it's okay to blow up Parliament. And Guy Fawkes, even though he said he was not the ringleader of the whole group, he was the one credited for the scheme to blow up Parliament. And they caught him. They hung him. They had him drawn and quartered, which is very painful. Obviously, they stretch you out by each limb and they cut your body into quarters. Okay, so, you know, it's all chopped up. And then they took his beheaded head, and they hung that on a spike on maybe some bridge or somewhere. I don't remember where. So there you have it. There's your nutshell story. I'm sure I got many of the details wrong, but the gist of it is there. So we're getting this story as we're driving down there. We're like, is he telling us this? Is this in relation to how we're going to be treated at the flag? I don't know. Wasn't the case. We got there as a great place. Fantastic. They had like a restaurant off to the side, but not a dartboard to be found, by the way, in one of these pubs, Tony. I'm very disappointed about that. I'm sure there are some pubs with dartboards. You know, foosball. We got foosball in the States. I want some good old horsehair board, steel tip darts. That's what I want. I know you can get that in the States too, but I figured it would be rampant in these English pubs and, have yet to come across that. So we're there and I meet a guy named Rory. Okay. He's not related to Rory McIlroy. But what he tells me is that, you know, he said something about football, and he goes, oh, I mean soccer. I said, it's okay. I'm in your country. I know what you're talking about. He goes, no, in my country, it's Gaelic football. I said, oh, you're from Ireland, right? And I said, my dad's from Ireland, and I told him where he was from. He's like, oh, and he's from an area very close to Dalkey, which is Derrynane, so he says, I've got this house on Rory McIlroy's favorite course, and my brother is the greenskeeper. And he said, I got a 5-bedroom house. He goes, I couldn't make enough money living in Ireland to afford the house, but I kept the house because I moved to London. I work in London now. And now I'm able to do that, but I have this house and it sits empty. My parents are there. For most of the house is empty. I had all these bedrooms. His parents are there. And he said, anytime you want to use the house, you want to come over to Ireland, anytime you make a trip over to Ireland, because he's like, you know, I'm his Irish brother now. And he goes, so I got his email address. We got the golf hookup now. Now all we got to do is find time to make a golf trip to Ireland. And hopefully this is legit and we'll be all set. And there you have it. So we're set. We're hooked up, man. That's pretty good.
That's pretty awesome. Now I just have to find time to get to Ireland. I like it.
Right. Start saving your money, your pence and your farthings and what have you. And, you know, we'll make a trip. You know, I'm thinking maybe a side trip. Jags to London, side trip over to, I don't know if it's Royal Port Rush. I didn't ask him the name of the course, you know, because I'm trying to hang in there and listen and make sure I understand every word with the accent. So anyway, we're at the flag for a while, have some pints there, walk down the block. I can't tell. We went by one place. It looked like a Bennigan's. It did not look very, you know, authentic British pub. And I forget the name of the place that we ended up. Finally, Frangie and crew, when they finished up with their show, they picked up another half dozen or so stragglers, brought them along. So we were rolling about 12, 14 deep until they closed. And we thought, what would be a good idea? Where could we go at this point as things were closing? I guess it was like midnight last night. We're getting kicked out. It's Wednesday night. So, you know, it's not that unusual. And, I thought, well, Monday when I came back, I walked by the hotel bar and the guy told me it was open till 1. So we scramble to find cabs. And like the first 6 of us jump in a cab, another 6 jump in another cab, and Rick Ballew stand there all by himself. He's looking like, what's going to happen? And Frank's like, Rick, just go get a cab. And of course, Rick had to pay for the whole cab where the rest of us are splitting the fare. So that probably didn't go over very well with Rick Ballew, but we all made it back. And then, we decided to call room service. And the lovely Amy, down at the reception desk said, I'm going to have to check on the availability of alcohol at this hour, sir. She called us back 5 minutes later, and there was no issue with the availability of alcohol. So, party in Frangie's room until the wee hours. So that's what you got last night. That was, that's all I got for you. Nobody got in any brawls. No international incidents were created, but a good time was had by all, and a couple more pubs were checked off the list here in the UK.
Did y'all talk to each other in British accents after midnight?
We did not. We did
Dang
not.
Dang it.
But,
are there any beers?
That's right.
Are there any beers?
Right. Is
yes.
There a toilet?
There was a thought.
That was awesome.
There was a thought at one point of raiding Fortunato's mini bar. Because we all have mini bars in the room, but most of them aren't stocked. But Fortunato's, I noticed the first day we moved in, he's got everything in there. He's got all the little mini bottles, and he's got beers and all that stuff. So there was a thought of running up a big bill on Fortunato's tab, but it kind of petered out at about 2 a.m. at that point. So that was the end of that. So there you go. That's our stories from the road. When we come back here in a moment, Patrick Cavanaugh, executive producer of Jaguars.com, will join me. As he put it today on Twitter, I must be out of people to talk to in London. Not the case whatsoever. A fellow Flagler grad, he will join me here in the UK. Mike Dempsey over on this side of the pond. Fat Tony and Lauren Brooks back stateside. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All the way from the UK. London time. 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Jaguars Today. And, you know, it doesn't matter what side of the Atlantic I'm on, Tony. You know how I am. I'm absent-minded. As promised, the segment late. It's time for the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. What are we asking Jaguar fans today?
The Tom Bush Fan Feedback Spotlight, Tom Bush Family of Motors ask fans, what drives you today? What we want to know from the fans, what unit has been the most disappointing to this point this season? Offense, defense, or special teams? For the fans out there, you can respond on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, and we will get to some of those answers a little bit later on in the program today and possibly even give out a Jaguars Today t-shirt to an answer or two that we like the most.
All right, Tony's in charge, so don't pander to him this week on the t-shirts. Don't pander to me as much. You can always pander to Lauren. That works as well, too. You can also go to Facebook.com/Jaguars Today. And weigh in with the latest. Where, by the way, we continue on with the Foundation Professionals of Florida photo contest. The latest one, playing for a pair of tickets to a future Jaguar home game, asks you to post a picture that fits the theme of Jaguars' passion for a chance to win. Foundation Professionals of Florida present the photo contest every week, and there's some good shots up there already, but you can add yours to the mix, and somebody is going to get a pair of tickets to a future Jaguars home game later on this season for the best photo when we deem it time to select that. Joining us now here on Jaguars Today, for the first time ever.
Ever.
It's a record-breaking moment. Patrick Cavanaugh is the executive producer at Jaguars.com, but most importantly, a Flagler College alum.
How much?
Proud Saint.
Which bonds us, doesn't it?
It does, forever.
How much time did we spend last night in during our pub time just discussing all the different watering holes in St. Augustine?
It's amazing how many are still there the many years after you came through.
A lot of them are still there, right? Thanks a lot. Since the old guy passed through St. Augustine. And so many of them have, oh, you know this place? Well, yeah, but it used to be this.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. So it was fun last night. We've been hitting our fair share of the British countryside.
You get your time here sometimes. You know, it's not all work.
Absolutely. And, we get it done. It's like mid-afternoon back home, and it's time to go out and enjoy the British countryside. For you, you used to work with CBS 47 to Fox 30.
Yep.
How long have you been with the Jags?
This is my third season, so I'm 2.5 years in after spending 10 with CBS.
And primarily with TV, mm-hmm. you were camera operator. How would you describe your position with
producer, that? Shooter, all the camera work, a less popular Kush, I guess you could put it that way.
Less known,
yes.
Less popular Kush, no less important Kush.
Yeah, you could say that.
Mind you, I just did. We were talking about a few minutes ago. I mean, you were in a unique position as the TV partner of the mm-hmm. Jacksonville Jaguars, and now obviously working with the Jags, that you're first in the locker room. The NFL, for people that don't know, have a 15-minute cooling off period after the game. They want players to have a chance to compose themselves, not
right.
say anything stupid. But you get in there with the raw emotion of post game, and for a victory, I would think it's phenomenal.
It's the best. There's nothing like it when they win and you get in there, and that's the time when they really don't care the cameras in there. You know, so you can go around, you're shooting guys, shaking hands with coaches. It's just a whole week of work, and you can feel the exhale after a win.
What's the best post-game environment you've been in?
07 in Pittsburgh in the playoff game when they came in. And I still remember Spicer walking in with a terrible towel and wiping his mouth with it and joking around. And I forget the guy's name. He had a...
See, now wait. He didn't get chastised for that. I guess it's okay to wipe your mouth. You just can't say...
He didn't do it on the sideline.
Right, and you can't say terrible towels carry disease, apparently. So we know the boundary you're not allowed to cross when it comes to the...
I thought you were going Lindale White there. He stomped on the towel.
I was not. That's good, too, though. That's a good reference.
Mm-hmm.
You told me, because I remember that game, you know, back in 2001, the NFL policy used to be you could go down on the sideline the last 2 minutes of the game, pretty much any member of the media who wanted to do that if you didn't have a sideline pass.
Right.
And watch it from there. It was a great perspective to have. I remember doing that in the late 90s with the Jags, and it was just phenomenal to feel the power of that crowd and everything that was going on. And then with 9/11, a lot of that changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, for the Jags, they changed their policy and never went back. But others have allowed that as the years have gone by. And Pittsburgh was one of those places. So
mm-hmm.
we got to go down as Jaguar media and watch the Jags in Pittsburgh for the second time that year win at Heinz Field. And you just told me.
You got my shot.
You told me. I remember the excitement because as I was walking out, I took an elevator down and I had to watch a play on TV where Garrard's run.
Right.
Set up, you know, eventually Scobie to kick the field goal. So, like, we pause because there's a play and we're like, you know, this is the game and the balance. Garrard picks up the first down. Now the Pittsburgh media is like, oh. Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah. And we go out there. And we walk around, and it was the far end zone for it. You walked out to the left, and I walked around behind the uprights, and as Scobie wound up to kick it, I just stood there, and he kicked it right around. I mean, I could have caught it, you know? And so I walked around. They let us go right next to the bench. And I remember the Roethlisberger getting sacked and fumbling, and you told me you have me on video.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm on the sideline trying to get reaction. I think Bobby McCray forced it. Paul recovered it.
Paul Spicer, right.
And so I'm trying to shoot guys for the Sounds of the Game segment. You know, it's really the easy way to wrap the story up is to have the post-game happy guy. And here comes this big guy in a trench coat.
I do. I have the black trencher on.
How about that spice? I just looked over and I'm like, thanks, man.
Yeah, very, very professional.
Thanks, Dempsey.
You know, very professional media. Yeah, that's all right. That's a reaction shot, though. That's maybe not what you were looking for. Now working with Jaguars.com, how's it changed for you? What do you do? What's a typical week like for you?
The difference between me when I work at the TV station, it's all Jags all the time now for me. There's no more high school football, no more Florida, none of that stuff. So we're in the locker room every day, chasing down interviews with guys, we do live shows, a lot of editing. With NFL Now, the app, that's our biggest thing is we're working for them all the time, sending them video all the time. So anything you see on the website, the TV shows, most of the TV show stuff, we get help from Channel 4 with that, obviously, too, because that's our new official station.
Sure.
But all the video on the website comes from us. Me and Dave are the guys that shoot
David
and edit
Candace.
Things. That's right.
Yep.
David Candace. We both shoot and edit. He came
he's
over
very
this
jealous right now.
He is.
He's so mad that you have made it onto Jaguars Today before he has. Mm-hmm. But you can lord that over him for I don't know how long it'll be, but you've got that card to play.
Well, we do sit in the hallway and listen to the show every day at the stadium.
You can't help it because I yell so loud, right? As I found out from Brian Sexton after he had a couple pints the other day, he said, yeah, Dempsey, I have to get up every day at 10 o'clock and go upstairs to get any work done. And have I not told all of you on this hallway?
Just shut the door.
I said, shut the door. It's okay. I don't take offense. I'm a loud SOB. I understand.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am. I know. But being in the locker room, being in the position where you're in that period where it's not open to the public, you probably have to sit on things, right?
Tons of stuff. Well, the Del Rio's rule for me was he would run me, kick me out of there if he wanted to. That was the rule.
Okay.
So the first time I ever started shooting this kind of stuff, it was me and him. So if he gave me a signal, I was out. And that only happened like once or twice. But it was just this odd system that, you know, I was probably like 23 or 24 years old. It's pretty intimidating when you go in after a loss, you know, which we don't do that anymore. We just do wins now. That's usually what it is.
Right.
So just, the cool one this year, obviously the We Believe in Victory speech with Gus.
Yeah.
You know, that was awesome. It's just neat to see all that stuff, and you can't even use it all. There's so much, you know.
He did it this week for the UK fans that came out. You know,
right.
They kind of goaded them into doing it, but Gus seems like he's very, I know for me, he's extremely easy to work with. Right?
Totally.
I
mean, yeah.
Really, the organization is like that, I think, from top to bottom now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're, Gus, especially with us, we do his TV show, so we shoot a film room segment with him every Tuesday, and he always has, there's never a rush. He's super considerate of our time as much as his, you know, which isn't always the way it is. So he's great. He's been really great to work with, and everybody else down there, too. They give us a ton of access, which is a big deal. Like not most team sites, but a lot of team sites don't get nearly the access we do.
Right.
With mic and players and the post-game speech, that's no guarantee. You know, that's staff by staff.
Patrick Cavanaugh here with us, the executive producer of Jaguars.com. As you're here in London this week, are you just home base the Grove and the players, or are you venturing out to cover any other aspects of what's going on?
We did some of the community stuff on Tuesday with the Play 60. We'll be at the rally on Saturday at Wembley. And then we're going to take Saturday afternoon off because it's been a long 10-day journey here.
You know,
starting
with Cincinnati,
we're going to go to the Fulham match, yeah.
Yeah, Fulham, I guess, played last night, mm-hmm. too, right? And Craven Cottage seats about 15,000, I'm told.
Yeah.
A pretty interesting experience. I think I need to talk to I think I know the guy I need to talk to.
We can get you some ducats if you need to get in there, I think.
I know
Shatter's got a pair that he can't use anymore because he's got to do some other event.
That's right, he does. He's got to go do the Cowboys
The second
rally.
Half of the rally, yeah.
Right, the rally with Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin and all this stuff. I said, bro, you need an agent.
He's an international star.
I guess he is an international star, but he needs to be internationally compensated. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, Jerry, come off that wallet if you want, you know, otherwise Brad Sham is going to be busy that afternoon.
I'll tell you what, that was one of the cool things last year for us. Our first time over here was to go to Trafalgar Square for the rally. People recognize Shattuck and Osier.
Real,
people with accents.
From Jaguars.com,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, people from Scotland and Iceland. We were talking to people from all over the world.
Well, we were at the hotel in Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
and Demetrius McCray's mom was there, and she came up to JP. And, like, if someone said, who's the Jaguars announcer? I would say Frank Frangie.
Frangie,
right?
Yeah.
He's the voice of the team. And I guess she recognizes him as well, and the way she put it, she said, I know you. You're the Jaguars announcer, right? So the rest of the staff from the last week, he's been mm-hmm. the Jaguars announcer, is
yep.
what we've called him. So yeah, he is an international man of mystery. For you now, the rest of the week before game day, you get the rally, just regular practice coverage, and
yeah, I mean, we're gonna do. We're gonna mic Scobie up at the rally, which ought to be interesting, and he's gonna carry a GoPro around for us. So we'll see what he gets. Haven't trained him how to shoot on it yet. But we'll see how he does.
How does Scobie managed to be the one guy who gets to bring his clubs over here? Second year in a row!
I guess you tip the equipment guys well, right?
Is that what it is? Is that the equipment guys are the ones who are the gatekeepers?
Well, yeah, someone's got to move all that stuff.
That's another 35 pounds, bro, if you want to rent the clubs.
Yeah.
No, 50 for the clubs.
I'm sure you talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, I checked it out. It was a little out of my price range.
Yeah, mine too. So.
So and Scobie came up the other day, and Fran Jenner was sitting there. He's like, hey, you guys need to play. It's only, you know, you can rent the club. Oh, yeah, sure, we could, Josh.
Yeah.
We absolutely could. and might have to take out a second mortgage on the house.
Yeah, you're not in your 10th year, whatever he is, in the NFL.
Did you hear? I said this the other day. You probably didn't hear it because you're in there working a couple rooms down, but windbreaker like we're wearing right now, mm-hmm. a Grove Golf windbreaker.
It's 400 pounds, right?
420. 420. So there you go. All right, Patrick Cavanaugh, good to see you. Thank you for stopping by. What's your favorite Flagler College bar back in the day?
It's cliche, but you have to say Scarlett's because I had so much free beer there.
There's no cliche. There's no wrong answer, by the way, either.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, my buddy Joe at Flagler, he worked in the kitchen, and it was pretty much an open tap.
Oh, Joe no longer works at Scarlett's, I take it.
No, right? Joe is a proud employee of the official Jaguar station, WJX.
Well, there you go. All right, you're not jeopardizing his employment, at least at Scarlett O'Hara's.
No.
Free Bear Joe is what he'll be known as from now on. Patrick, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Go rub it into Candace's face, all right?
I plan on it.
There he goes, Patrick Cavanaugh. A fellow Flagler Mafia member right here, Jaguars Today. We'll come back in a moment. Tony stateside will have this state in football history for you, as well as the Honda drive around the NFL, and we'll catch up where things stand halfway through. Jaguars Today on this Thursday afternoon from both sides of the pond. Mike Dempsey in London, Fat Tony and Lauren Brooks stateside on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this state in football history.
It's that time again, Jacksonville, time for this date in football history, brought to you this week by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. November 6th, 1966. That's a lot of sixes. I'm a little uncomfortable. Tim Brown of the Philadelphia Eagles ran back two kickoffs for touchdowns in that same game against the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe Jordan Todman can add himself to that list this weekend. Wouldn't that be sweet? In 1982, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the National Football League cannot dictate the hometown of a team. The case resulted from the Oakland Raiders wanting to move to Los Angeles. And in 1995, a dark day in Cleveland, Art Modell, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, announced plans to move his team to Baltimore. It was announced that the contract had actually been signed on October 27th that finalized the Cleveland Browns' move to Baltimore. This state in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company in Jacksonville. Best Fence, the mission is to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price while providing unsurpassed customer service. Give them a call today at 904-268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The Houston Texans going into their bye this weekend, but when they return to action in Week 11, it will be Ryan Mallett playing quarterback for the Jaguars' division rival. The team has decided to bench Ryan Fitzpatrick after a 4-5 start to the season. The Texans find themselves two games behind the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC South. And former South Carolina running back Marcus Lattimore has been rehabbing his shredded knee for nearly 2 years now. The San Francisco 49ers drafted Lattimore last year despite the severe knee injury, and we're going to have to make a decision about adding him to the active roster this week. Instead of being able to be activated, Lattimore announced that he will be retiring from the National Football League after not being able to play a down in his career. And if you read his statement, it's a pretty sad story there for Marcus Lattimore, a guy who was super talented, Mike, there at South Carolina, a guy that was being talked about as potentially a first-round draft pick at one point in time while he was on the campus there with the Gamecocks. But it comes to an end before he ever sees the ball on an NFL field. It's sad.
Yeah, for his sake, I'm glad that he had a chance to make some money. You know, doing it because you give up so much to play for your college. And, he obviously was a guy, Tony, we saw him as a freshman at South Carolina. You could easily envision him as being an Eddie Lacy type, feature back in the NFL, a guy that I thought could do it all. But, wish him the best. He seems like a great guy. I saw some of those features they did on him leading up to the draft. And, it's a brutal sport, man. We forget about that all the time. We see that waiver wire, that transaction wire every week. And we look at it like, oh, do we know this name? Do we recognize this name? And these guys, in some cases, it's the end of their career. Each time somebody gets waived, it's the potential end of their career, something that, they've lived their whole life to do. And that the difference being, your career you may get fired from your job in whatever, kind of profession you've gone into. Maybe you get another job in that profession. The end of the line comes early for these football players. There's no question about it. So 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. The full slate of London games, as we'll get to the phones here in a minute, has been released for next year. We told you the Jags will be playing the Buffalo Bills. So the Jets will travel to take on the Dolphins. Dolphins officially the home team in that one on October 4th next year. Jags hosting the Bills on October 25th. And the Chiefs, will host the Lions on November 1st. A couple of interesting things with this speculation, because the Chiefs release indicated that the game will be broadcast locally and nationally. And it wouldn't be a national game unless, for sure, unless it is that 9:30 Eastern kickoff. So if they're going to do that again, there's a great chance that the Chiefs-Lions will be that game in the early morning on November 1st. And got a tweet in as well, and I think this makes a pretty good point here. When you look at the schedule the way it was this year, with the Jags shutting down the Cabanas, and you know, you lose out some of that additional revenue. That's that local revenue that you don't have to share with other people. Michael Zwatcha at M Zwatz on Twitter said the Jags didn't like losing the pool cabana revenue for the Miami game, so they'll be in London before the Florida Georgia game this year. Of course, they were in London, afterwards they were building it out, so I don't know. I don't know if that will impact it or not. I haven't really thought through all the permutations of that. But certainly, you know, if you've got all that, those new avenues for extra revenue inside the stadium, you certainly don't want to have to. You only have seven games there now. You don't want to shut down some of those extra revenue streams for one out of those seven games, at least regular season games. I'm sure those preseason games count just the same, right? I'm sure they make just as much on those preseason games as everything else. 641-1010. I think we have Mac on the line here on 1010XL as we're live in the UK. At least I am. Hi, Mac.
Hey, Mike, let me throw a little extra something on the pool cabanas. Florida and Georgia want no parts of that.
Yeah, I know. That's why they...
Okay.
Right.
I got you. Okay, the London thing, Mike. They could have sent somebody. They could have sent Tennessee and Houston and Indianapolis or that. I'm a season ticket holder, and I want to see the Cowboys, man. I hate the Cowboys. Not so much I hate the Cowboys. I want to see the Cowboys, and a lot of people want to see the Cowboys, man. I didn't even blink. I understand what Sean Conn's doing, you know, and trying to get in there. I understand what the NFL does. It's the NFL office in New York that's just enamored with London. We, as fans, we can care about it. But they just sent the wrong, Mike, they sent the wrong team over when they sent the Cowboys. They could have sunk the Titans, the Colts, the Texans. They could even sunk the New York Giants. They take Dallas from us, man. And they ain't another conference. We ain't gonna speed them for another 4 years, Mike.
I understand that, Mac. But I mean, it's not like the Jags selected that game. Trust me, the Jags would not select that game to come over here, because you know that Dallas has a large following, and that's going to be a capacity crowd at Everbank Field. That's an NFL decision, you know, and the reason they're doing it is because, you know, to them, they're trying to still sell the sex appeal of the National Football League. And let's face facts, if they send Tennessee Jacksonville, how appealing is that game to anybody? Even if Dallas is not very good, they're a marquee franchise in terms of fan interest. They're one of the most popular teams in the league. You know, you've got a very flashy owner. Who's got, you know, that you've got the dueling biggest scoreboard type stadiums. Of course, Houston has huge scoreboards as well, but you get the point. I mean, it's not just that. It's a, you know, it's marquee players. It's Tony Romo. It's Dez Bryant. It's DeMarco Murray. It's many others on the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, I agree with you. In a perfect world, send the least desirable game. That's why I think next year, Tony, is, so appealing. You know, the Buffalo Bills, if you had to handpick one off the schedule that you could send, and that would be the one. Now, obviously, if they finish in the same place as the Oakland Raiders and they're going to play the Raiders, I think you could argue that that would be the one you would want to send as well. But regardless, sure, you don't know for sure who you're going to play in the AFC West. So if I had to pick one out of the seven that we know of right now, that would be the one to send.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the schedule next year, I think that makes sense. But then you're kind of arguing against yourself a little bit, because it's not like Jacksonville or Buffalo are all that marquee. And from a fan perspective, I mean, Max talking about it there, look, if you want to get frustrated because it is Dallas that's going, you don't get an opportunity to see them at home again until 2022. It's 8 years between getting an opportunity to host these teams from the NFC. That's the game that gets sent over there, San Francisco last year. So if you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys and you live in Jacksonville, that means you're probably not ever going to see Dez Bryant play live in a Dallas Cowboy uniform in Jacksonville, Florida. There are guys like that. DeMarco Murray's not going to be doing this again in 8 years. It's going to be a completely different iteration of this Dallas Cowboys team that the fans here in Jacksonville don't get an opportunity to go see.
Although I will argue, Tony, there isn't a marquee game from that kind of standpoint next year. So, look, Miami's already playing over here, so you scratch them off. Atlanta played here this year, and I know Detroit did as well, but I don't think the NFL is going to try to compel these teams to go in back-to-back years if they don't choose to, right? Detroit may be saying, hey, you know what? We'll go as the road team. We know what to expect. We're giving up a road game. That's pretty attractive to us. Carolina, all right. I mean, are they that all marquee? I mean, Cam Newton's an interesting name, but
sure.
Beyond that, and I'm glad they're not giving up a division game. The real marquee game is the Indianapolis game because of the presence of Andrew Luck in the division. I mean, and you hope that the Jags can rise to meet that level. And if you missed it yesterday, talking with Dave Caldwell, both on and off the air, and it gets confused in my head. I can't remember everything that was said on the air. So he kind of laid out, the first year that they were just putting it all together. This year they want to be in all these games and, try to learn how to close out games. And next year they expect to be able to win these games that they're in late game situations where they're matched up. And by year four, you want to be the team that other teams are chasing, that you're the team taking that 10-point lead into the fourth quarter, and other teams are saying, hey, we're within striking distance of Jacksonville. And that he sees as the progression. Then you maintain at that level as long as you can. And, if that's the case and they're able to build it like that, as long as Andrew Luck's in Indy, they're going to be a contender for the division at least. I mean, he's that special a player, I believe. And so, that may be the marquee game in the division for a long time to come. We see Houston trying out Ryan Mallett, right, who, New England drafted, never really saw the field. You still have questions about how accurate he can be. He's got a big arm, but they drafted Tom Savage. They clearly haven't seen anything out of him because they went out and got Mallett, Ryan Fitzpatrick. But they're just kind of a blah franchise right now. Tennessee has given up on Jake Locker. He'll be out. Is Mettenberger the answer? I don't think anybody knows. He's a late-round pick. They certainly didn't think he was the answer, or they would have drafted him sooner. So right now, if Blake Bortles turns out to be the guy that they drafted him to be, a third overall pick level type player, a top half of the league quarterback. And you think about that, Tony. We talk about Andy Dalton all the time. You know what? When you don't have playoffs, you'll take the playoff appearances that Andy Dalton has helped the Cincinnati Bengals build. Yes, you want to win in the postseason, but there's something to be said for being a top 15 quarterback as well. Not everybody is going to have a top five. It's tough to find those kind of guys. So, right now, I'm good with that one being shipped over to London next year in terms of the marquee value of it. We got to step aside when we come back. The Ozone joins me for a few minutes. We'll catch up with John Ogier, find out what he's been up to today covering the Jacksonville Jaguars as they get ready for the Dallas Cowboys. Live in the UK and the States, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All the way from the UK, 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Jaguars Today rolls on live in the UK. Tomorrow, Tony will have it stateside. Tony, today you got a busy day, don't you? You're filling in for me on all the platforms today, aren't you?
Yeah, it's only beginning my day, really. As soon as I leave here, I'm going across the street to the CW to record the Your Jacks Fantasy Football Show. And then a little bit later this afternoon, the Web.com Fantasy Forecast, Josh Carney will rejoin me at 2 o'clock this afternoon here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. So get your lineup questions ready, Jacksonville. We'll get them all answered this afternoon from 2 to 3 o'clock.
Somebody's got to do it because I've ignored them all this week on Twitter. I've got a million of them. I couldn't even begin to catch up right now.
Except you didn't ignore certain ones.
In London. Well, just they're... Ozone, what are you going to do if a cute girl tweets you and wants a little fantasy advice?
First of all, tell Lauren to pipe down.
Wow! Ozone feeling pretty comfortable in the UK studios.
Ozone's sounding even less manly.
Certain things you retweet. Well, I can go less manly.
You're not as gravelly today.
I'm not as gravelly.
That's known by everybody. But, yeah, I mean, look, there's certain, you know, certain ones you say, ah, well.
Absolutely.
Just want to stay in their good graces. You know, not, it's more just a midlife, you know, state of mind.
Yeah.
It's not, there's no reality base to any of that kind of stuff.
Hope is hope.
It's a world I live in. It's not even hope.
It's
thoughts of days gone by, John, is what it is. Today has gone by for the most part. The darkness is descending once again, and in about 40 minutes it'll be pitch black outside here at the Grove.
At 2:30 in the afternoon.
Not quite, but close enough. Today was a gloomier day. Colder, gloomier. This is more what we
expect. It's gloomy now. It was exactly like this at like noon.
Right, all day long it's been just kind of like that. That's all right. You know what? We've had more sunshine than I kind of expected.
It's a strange thing. I was standing there going to do locker room interviews or outside the hotel interview today, and this really dark cloud sort of just goes over the horizon, blocks the sun. And there was no difference.
It was
a different sort of darkness.
Yes.
But it's, you know, is what it is.
That's
it's
not fun. An omen, I hope.
Yeah.
What do you think? I went on Dallas radio today and they said basically the effect, is there any way you could possibly conceive of the Jaguars competing in this football game?
Yeah, I don't see this as that much of a different matchup than Cincinnati than the last couple.
Either.
I mean, and there was something else written, I forget where I saw it, but basically to that same effect that, oh, this should be an easy win for Dallas. And it's like the Jaguars haven't won in the last couple of months, but they haven't had games. This is not last year where they were losing by 14 points, you know, at the end of the first quarter. So I would be a little surprised if they don't come out. I wouldn't favor them to win.
Sure.
But I would be a little surprised at this stage after the last couple of months. If it's not close, it would be a break in what's been going on.
Right. And look, Tony Romo's a big factor in all this. Very non-committal. Practiced somewhat today. And, you know, players I find are usually more optimistic about their own status.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that he's kind of downplaying it a little bit, maybe. I don't think he has any reason to try to hide it. If he felt good, he'd say, hey, I'm playing. I feel good. That's what players do.
You're sort of at the point now, and again, this is not inside stuff from the Dallas locker room, but at 11:30 Eastern, I wouldn't be surprised to see him active. Wouldn't be surprised to see him inactive. I mean, it would be, you know, it wouldn't be a seismic event either way.
You would think major advantage. We all know what Tom Fridley's ringtone is now. By the way, it's message in a bottle.
Right.
we get a little bonus of that
from time to time on the show.
Very nice. If Brandon Weeden plays, though, obviously. Big advantage compared to the alternative. I'm not saying the Jags all of a sudden have the overall advantage, but Brandon Weeden is Brandon Weeden. He's not.
And as we may have said yesterday, I don't think it was a coincidence that DeMarco Murray had 80 yards or 79 yards last week.
Right.
Without Romo, there's certainly as good as Murray's been when you have to worry about Romo to Dez Bryant, Romo to Witten. You know, when you have to worry about those things, you're going to play differently, and you're going to spend less time on DeMarco Murray because even though as good as he has been, you're still more scared as a defense of giving up 75 yards to Dez Bryant. The pass still scares you more than the run, and you got to defend it when Romo's in the game.
Cecil Shorts not practicing today, but just in talking to him, what is the gist you get?
He sounded today, and again, he's been through this so often that you sort of have history with it. He sounded today like he has sounded on several Thursdays when he's played that Sunday. It wasn't a, you know, complete shoulders down. No, I'm going to see what, you know. He thinks he'll practice tomorrow. If he practices tomorrow, then he'll play. So, I think he's sort of the point I asked him today. I said, do you have a better feel for this now than when this kind of got started a couple months ago? And he said, I'm smarter now, which I think he sort of knows how it feels. When a trouble spot's coming where he can sort of say, okay, don't practice today, be available Sunday. It's not ideal, and I know fans get tired of talking about it, but if you're asking if I think Cecil will play on Sunday, I think he will.
All right, John Osier here.
And I definitely think that Marquise plays.
Yeah.
Marquise, it sounds like, I mean, everything you've heard since then is, even Gus said on Jaguars.com Live last night, it scared him more than anything. It was sort of one of those in practice, I guess he rolled it or whatever, and it was an oh my goodness moment, but he was practicing today. if he wasn't full, he was just barely limited kind of thing. So it sounds like he'll play.
It's a shame, though, you're not surprised. At least I'm not surprised when you hear those guys pop up with something that pops up during the course of a practice. You know, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think with Marquise, this, like, he had the hamstring earlier. I think this was a little different. I think this was just an incident in practice where all of a sudden it was an ankle. You can turn it and it'll kind of shock you a little bit. Oh, what is that? And then after it sort of cools down, you realize it's not swelling, it's fine, and you're back out there. So I don't think this is really, this feels different than Cecil having another hammy where all of a sudden it's tweaked again. You know, that's become such a common story that, you know, you almost don't read it when it happens now.
Right.
Marquise, this one has a different feel than that. This is not a recurring hamstring. This is more something that happened in practice, rolled, and it looks like it's okay.
Jags play Buffalo next October 25th. As the London game three, although the report from the London Daily Mail a few weeks ago indicated there'd be five games, it was disputed immediately. But you never know
right.
with a story like that. Sometimes it's disputed because the NFL wants to control when that information
sure.
officially gets released. So anyway, you have Jets, Dolphins, you have Kansas City and Detroit, and you have the Jags and the Bills. What are your thoughts on that selection and the timing of it in Week 7?
Yeah, the Bills, I think that makes sense from a national perspective. It doesn't look like there was any bigger game that they could get over here to have that marquee pop that they've had the last couple of years. I think the significant thing is Jets-Dolphins being a division game over
right.
there, first time, sort of shows you, you know, the feeling I get is that you'll have, like we talked about over the break, 8-game schedule over here at some point in the future where the league wants this to be as big a deal as it can be during the regular season and to matter and to not, you know, so the people over here realize they're seeing the real deal and they're seeing highly competitive games and that it's almost like they're saying, hey, teams, get used to this. This is something that's going to happen. This is something that teams are going to be scheduling and there's going to be less of an ability to say, hey, we don't want X. We don't want Y. We don't want it. It's more, this is how it's going to be. You're going to have this in your rotation at some point over the course of time. And
the old guard's going to fight that, though. The power teams are going to fight that, right? Giving up. I'm not saying, well,
they're going to fight it, but if it becomes something where it's voted in by the league, I mean, by the owners.
That's what I'm saying, though.
The owners,
they're part of the ownership.
Well,
and how much.
It's,
you know,
sort of big picture versus small picture. Meaning, if the league office looks at the owners and said, here's X revenue waiting down the road. If everybody contributes to this, then they'll see it as a big picture thing, and over time the money's going to grow and make up for that one loss every 4 years.
Maybe.
If that's not sold, then this concept won't happen.
Right. And you think that's ultimately the concept, that the share it out between
that
a bunch
feels
of different teams.
Right.
It feels right, but I wonder how much. From my perspective, I mean, I'm invested.
Right.
I want this team to be Jacksonville's team forever and ever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine every other market feels the same way mm-hmm. about their team. Hey, we don't want to be London's team. If we got to play a game over there every 4 years or whatever the case, okay, if everyone's doing mm-hmm. it. And that's fantastic. And that this is still America's game as far as I'm concerned. I understand. I love the passion that the UK fans have for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have our teams. That's the way I look at it. And you certainly can't have our team.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I hope that because it does make a lot of logical sense, that model that you're talking about with 8 teams, that we're not just projecting what we want to
right.
have.
That feels like a possibility, and this feels like a little more of a step in that direction. But I don't know that that's a, you know, hard to predict the future on that front, but that feels right.
I'm starting to look ahead now. 2016, home for Denver, Oakland, Green Bay, and Minnesota. We'll give you the Raiders right now, okay? Raiders-Jags in 2016. I'm calling it right now. I don't think that'll be the case.
And you wonder if Peyton's still playing?
You wonder if he is. You don't know.
So.
I think he'll play as long as his body allows him
to play.
No,
I mean, if he's there, is that the game to get him over here?
Sure. I mean, Green Bay's, as long as Rodgers is there, is going to conceivably be a marquee. And things change so much. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, maybe he turns Minnesota into, you know, just like the Jags may be a marquee team
right.
in 2016. Things change in the National Football League. Are you getting sick of me? We're seeing a lot of each other. We see each other. Well, yeah, because
getting?
We All right, you've been sick of me. Is that what you're saying? All right. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know we had reached a saturation point.
We have a bond. It's strong.
Is it a strong one?
In fact, let's start hanging out in Jacksonville, not just here.
How about weekdays?
What are you doing
from
Monday?
10 to noon.
All right.
All right. Maybe once a week.
What are you doing Monday? Let's hang out.
That's a good idea. Right. We'll do that for 2 hours. What do you got coming up today?
Wrote a piece on Blake Bortles today, just sort of where he's at with Dave Caldwell talking about him a little bit today, making the point that, you know, we've been so up and down on him and analyzing every day, every game, every play. This is really what he's done is what they expect. And he's, you know, somebody asked yesterday, do you go back to Chad Henne? Do you do that? You know, and this is the course. This is where we're at. And that's okay. He still gives this team the best chance to win. His presence in the lineup has made them better over the last 7 or 8 games. So I talked about that a little bit. And Dave Caldwell talked about the overall state of the franchise is the right word, but he talked a lot today about sort of where they're at, playing the young people on offense. So a little bit of an update from London today.
Yeah, that's good. We talked about with him yesterday a little bit on the show as well, just kind of the way he described it, you know, first year, just – put it in. This year, be competitive. Next year, win these competitive games. And then by year 4, be the team that the other team is chasing.
And when you talk to him, you sort of realize, and it has to be taken in the concept, I mean, in the context of where the team was last year, where the team is now, double-digit losses coming into week 8 now. Now they're talking about finishing. Well, the next step is to talk about finishing more often and getting the record up. But I think this is sort of the plan that he – I don't think the trajectory of this is that much different than he anticipated.
All right, there he goes. The senior writer for Jaguars.com is John Osier, and you can occasionally catch him with me, mostly on Mondays, when he is not sick of me on Jaguars Today.
Never sick of the
Nets. You're so full of it.
All right, guys, thank you.
All right, there he goes. John Osier, he's made his presence known in the pubs of North UK, North London. I don't know. Not in a bad way. Oh, don't worry. I'm keeping all the good stories, for the book one day. All right. There you go. Keep it close to the best. John Osier exiting the building right now. The Jaguars UK studios getting pretty dark outside right now. I'm sure it's a lovely 11:30 morning back in the States. So Fat Tony will check in with me coming up in a moment as we'll look at the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight. Unfortunately, you know, with a negative vibe, which unit for the Jacksonville Jaguars has been the most disappointing for you this year? Offense, defense, special teams. So we'll get into that, some of your reaction, and some few final thoughts coming up as we close out Jaguars Today, UK edition today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Let's call you Joe. Hi, Tony.
You're live, buddy.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
That's interesting. We were just singing because we couldn't hear anything in our ear because no one put programming in our ear. So there you go. Thank you very much. Hi, Tony. How are you?
I could have let you go on, but I decided to get you off that hook.
I wanted the world to hear what I was hearing, apparently.
Well, you know, I would, you know, I'll leave it alone. But Tom has message in a bottle as his ringtone and every or his alert tone, I guess, every time he gets a text. And every time we hear it, we just kind of sit around just humming Message in a Bottle and other things. A lot of things we've been humming this week. So just a lot of British music. Let's just leave it at that. From First Coast News, this was passed along from internally inside the 1010XL studios. The official story, police raided a home on Jacksonville's south side yesterday afternoon as part of an ongoing drug investigation. But the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office isn't shedding much light on what the investigators found inside. The agency served an undercover narcotics search warrant at the home in the 9100 block of Hogan Road. We're at 9090 Hogan Road. JSO spokesperson Melissa Buhita, I'm going to go with, told First Coast News that, and she declined to provide additional details, citing an active investigation. However, neighbors, not so tight-lipped, quote, I can't tell you how many people they marched out of that house, said Cindy Selmer, who added that officers on the scene told her it was a heroin bust. Investigators were looking for heroin and crack cocaine, according to the report. So there you have it, happenings on Hogan Road yesterday that didn't involve me humming tunes here in the UK. Yeah, how about that? Way to throw me under the bus. Tony, today, the Tom Bush Family Dealership's Fan Feedback Spotlight asked what and what kind of feedback did we receive?
We asked the fans out there, what has been the most disappointing unit for you to this point in the Jacksonville Jaguars season? Offense, defense, special teams? The answers we got from Mike, a lot of this. Special teams, hashtag Scooby-Dooby-Doo, hashtag Anger Zone from one in DeVille. Defense for first few games, but all season the special teams except Todman have been a letdown. Worse than hashtag half eaten donuts. The callback from Drummeter. We got quarterback is the most exciting and disappointing at the same time. From Pete, we got by far special teams has special needs. Hashtag bone up, damn it. And on Facebook, some of the answers we got, Mike, from Josh, just no excuse for special teams. Hashtag do your job. From Don, special teams are as bad as I've seen in a long, long time. With positive nod only to Jordan Todman on kickoff returns. Really disappointed in Scobes and Aish. Hashtag do your job. From Nicholas, special teams was supposed to be a strength for us and has been a weakness so far. 3 block kicks, 2 block punts, no punt returns of note. Hashtag need improvement. And finally from George, special teams. The unit lacked the first 4 games without Ace Sanders, and his return was supposed to spark a struggling unit, but it hasn't shown up yet. Hashtag, he's calling a shot. Jags 23, Cowgirls 17.
Oh, the Cowgirls. That gets them every single time. I do think, look, maybe it's his hope. I hope, obviously. Every week I hope that they win the football game and at least hang in there and competitive. And just bad memories for what happened last year here in London with the San Francisco 49ers jumping all over the Jags early on and never relenting in that football game. You know, you hate for all this big buildup all week long, all that goes into it to bring a team over here to have it result in a loss. And at the very least, you want this to be a nail-biter of a game, but being put in that position, it's time for this team to start learning. You don't have to wait till next year to learn how to close out these games. You've been in enough close games now over the last 5-6 weeks that, you know, start making some of those plays that go your way. Don't make those critical killer turnovers late in the football game. I mean, ultimately, you line them up, particularly if Tony Romo plays. I think, you know, man for man, Dallas has a more talented roster when you combine talent plus experience, and that offensive line has been as good as any, which goes strength against strength, I think, with the Jaguars front 4. And, you know, DeMarco Murray, I know what Osh was saying with Brandon Whedon in there. He finally gets held under 100 yards. You figure at some point he's going to go under 100 yards anyway. He's almost due for one of those kind of games. So based on the performance of the last week of Jeremy Hill, we know what DeMarco Murray's capable of. Let's not have a repeat of that performance from last week in terms of an opponent on the ground against the Jacksonville Jaguars. A couple of comments from Gus Bradley, as you'll hear more fresh stuff coming up this afternoon with Frank Frangie and Rick Blue, I guess about 3 hours from now. But just a few of the things that he has had to say so far this week, including the concept of, you know, how liberal are you with the players' time off and how they use that time, and how are you managing that over here in England?
We chose to give our players a couple days. We got here, left Sunday night, give our players some freedom to go ahead and enjoy the experience and take it all in on Monday and some of Tuesday. And they did a great job. And just when they came back to the Grove and talked to us about it, just like the Poppies, that experience that Sendarik and Mercedes Lewis went through, they came and talked to many of our players about it. And just those type of experiences that they had, I think, are really what you want to take advantage while you're over here.
I talked to Sendarik Marks about that today. The poppies is a ceremony where there's one poppy laid out for every member of the British military who died in World War I. So this is going back now about 100 years or close to 100 years. And the thing he said to me, he said, you know, this is stuff I learned a lot this week. And he said he's not a big tourist, but he has, you know, taken in some of the sites, and they did community service event type stuff, as we talked about early in the week on Tuesday. And they said, look, I'm learning things that if I were in high school and it was in a book, I would say, well, how does this apply to my life? And it doesn't. And I'm not that interested. And then when you actually see it and you're immersed in it, it's been a cool, I think, cultural experience. It's been for me, you know, and I'm certain players, staff, coaches, the ones who were here last year or not, are all impacted by it in some degree. So I still marvel, man. I mean, because I'm not going to be with you tomorrow, Tony, on Jaguars Today. I may pop in with you, but you'll be hosting tomorrow as we're changing venues over here. So the logistics team will be packing everything up and moving up throughout the course of the afternoon tomorrow, our afternoon, your morning. I'm just amazed, you know. I'm just a dude who just loves football, loves sports, and the chance to come over on this trip, I gotta thank, 1010XL, first and foremost, the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, just to be in this position to work, with this football team, not for this football team, but with this football team, and work for the listeners in Jacksonville and try to give them some sense of what the experience is like and bring that home to them. And why am I able to do that? I don't know. I just, you know, life's a lot about right place, right time, and I'm very appreciative of the fact that I've been in the right place enough times to have, you know, this kind of thing happen. You know, my dad grew up in Ireland and lived here a good portion of his life before he ever came to the States and started a family, and even then it seemed like such a far off exotic place that I'd never in my life, you know, we didn't grow up with any kind of money, we weren't the kind of family that could travel around anywhere, you know, never to another state, never mind another country. So it's pretty overwhelming for me, and just really appreciative of the fact that I got to go along here and hopefully bring you guys back a little bit of what it feels like to be along. Still work to do for me, but, you know, I love it. You know, the pregame show, the postgame show, we'll be doing it live from Wembley Stadium, very iconic sporting venue. So, you know, hopefully, again, the primary focus, can the Jags win a football game this Sunday? But everything that comes along with it, I just hope everybody else, and I assume everybody I talk to does, but I hope everybody who has the opportunity, from sponsors to whomever, folks who want fan contests to come over here, or just the fans who are paying their own way to make it over, realize that maybe it's not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but it doesn't come along every day or every week or anything like that. So it's been pretty cool, and it's not done yet, and just knock on wood. Hopefully, get to travel with the Jags again sometime in the future. Hint, hint, next year when the Buffalo Bills come over in week 7. Tony, we wrap up now. I'm not gonna hear any more from Gus. I know we got XL Primetime coming up, and I'm sure they'll have plenty, from this side of the pond as well. And I know you've got the web.com fantasy forecast. Frank and Rick will follow live from the UK. Don't forget Gus Bradley show tonight with Jeff Loggeman, Jaguars Thursday, all that rolling on the official station of 1010XL, 92.5 FM. I appreciate you having my back in the States, you and Lauren Brooks, all week long, and I look forward to seeing you guys, but I'm in no hurry to get back yet. So thanks for all the work you guys have done this week, and I'll leave it in your capable hands for the rest of the day and for tomorrow as well. So I appreciate all you've done to make it possible for me to not worry about things while I'm over here.
Thank you very much, Mike. And before we let you go, every Friday we ask the fans, and I'm sure it'll be the question we ask them again tomorrow, about the keys to the game for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like you said, you're not going to get the opportunity to be on and give us those keys potentially. So I know you said you feel like the Jags got a chance in this game against the Dallas Cowboys. What needs to go right for them to win in London?
Turnover battles, number one. I mean, I think forcing them as much as not giving them up. I mean, when they played Cleveland and they turned the ball over, they had good field position. They didn't come back to haunt them. You can overcome some turnovers if other factors are working. But right now, you know, the Jags offense consistently is not operating on the same level as the defense. So maybe the defense needs to play above and beyond what they've already done so far this year and create some more turnovers. You know, Tony Romo, if he does play, is a guy who takes chances. You know, he will extend the play as long as he possibly can. Either, you know, he'll make throws, sometimes they're ill-advised, or he extends the play long enough for some pressure to get to him, and maybe he can cause some sack fumbles in the backfield. If Brandon Whedon plays, all the better, and maybe Dallas goes with a more conservative game plan like they did last week. But I think you got to create turnovers. Blake Bortles has to continue to mature, but, you know, just continue to be a guy who takes shots. They've got to be aggressive. I think big plays could be a factor in this game. Denard Robinson's come close to taking a couple of runs to the house this year, and I think he knew he had one against Cincinnati, and he kind of stumbled a little bit And when he gets that opportunity, he gets that crease, he's got the long speed. You know, take that thing to the house. A 40-yard gain is great. A 60-yard gain that ends up in the end zone is that much better, because we know how much the Jags have struggled in the, you know, what you've called the dead zone between the 20 and the 50 in the opponent's territory. And, you know, special teams, just clean up your act. Whether it's field goal kicking, punting, they've had breakdowns across the board. Not much in the way of impact plays in the return game, although Todman's been solid on kickoff return. So those will be some of the things I'm looking for on Sunday afternoon. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks again to Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks stateside. Thanks to John Osier and Patrick Cavanaugh for joining me today on Jaguars Today live in the UK. Frank Frangie and Rick Blue coming up in 3 hours. Up next, though, the boys from XL Primetime have it for you. Joe C., Hacker, and T-Wig, and then Tony and Josh Carney with the Web.com Fantasy Forecast before we come back live to the United Kingdom. Don't forget Gus Bradley with Jeff Logman tonight and Jaguars Thursday as well. All happening on the official flagship station of your Jacksonville Jaguars. 1010XL, 92.5 FM. If I don't talk to you before, I'll talk to you next week back in the States. Signing off for Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.